And words of my lips be in the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, the feasts of saints' days can sometimes be a bit of a minefield for preachers. Sometimes we know very little about the saint, and sometimes what we do know shows them in a pretty poor light. Of course, the whole point of a saint's day, or the dedication of a church to a saint, is that they're supposed to be a role model for us in our Christian life. That's not easy when they have feet of clay, or we are not even sure they really existed. Not so today, because we do know quite a lot about Barnabas through the Acts of the Apostles. And as we're told in Acts 11, verse 24, he was a good man. And in fact, I got so hooked on the story of Barnabas that this sermon today is slightly odd, perhaps, in that it is very much biographical. So, he was born Joseph, or Joses, and a Cypriot Jew. Some say that he only became part of the Christian church after Christ's crucifixion, but I suspect that he'd been one of Christ's many followers and only came to prominence after the crucifixion. Barnabas was named an apostle in Acts 14, verse 14. Barnabas, as a member of the early Christian community, sold the land that he owned and gave the proceeds to the community. When the future Paul the Apostle returned to Jerusalem after his conversion, Barnabas introduced him to the apostles. Easton, in his Bible dictionary, supposes that they had actually been fellow students in a school in Gamaliel. Paul and Barnabas travelled together, making more converts, around about 46 to 48 AD, and participated in the Council of Jerusalem in 49 AD. Barnabas and Paul successively evangelized among the God-fearing Gentiles who attended synagogues in various Hellenized cities of Anatolia. Much of Barnabas' story appears in the Acts of the Apostle, and Paul mentions him in some of his epistles. Tertullian named him as the author of the Epistles to the Hebrews, but this and other attributions of writings are purely conjecture. The Epistle of Barnabas was ascribed to him by Clement of Alexandria and some others in the early church. And the Epistle is included under his name, in the Codex Sinaiticus, which is the earliest existing manuscript of the complete New Testament. There are a few scholars who think that's true, but there are also many who say it's not, and the attribution is wrong. Although the date, place, and circumstances of his death are historically impossible to verify, Christian tradition holds that Barnabas was martyred at Salamis in Cyprus. He's traditionally identified as the founder of the Cypriot Orthodox Church. Barnabas is usually identified as the cousin of Mark the evangelist on the basis of the term anepsios used in Colossians 4, which carries the connotation of cousin. But there are various other theories about who he was related to. The successful preaching of Christianity at Antioch to non-Jews, which we heard about in the reading from Acts, led the church at Jerusalem to send Barnabas there to oversee the movement. He found the work so extensive and weighty that he went to Tarsus in search of Paul, who is still referred to as Saul at this point. An admirable colleague, he's described as, because he needed assistance. Paul returned with him to Antioch and laboured with him for a whole year. At the end of this period, the two were sent up to Jerusalem, around about AD 44, with contributions from the church at Antioch for the relief of the poorer Christians in Judea. They returned to Antioch, taking John Mark with them, the cousin or nephew of Barnabas, some would say. Later they went to Cyprus and some of the principal cities of Pamphylia, Pisidia, and Lycaonia. After recounting what the governor of Cyprus, Sergius Paulus, believed in Acts 13, verse 9, he speaks of Barnabas' spiritual brother, no longer as Saul, but as Paul, his Roman name, and generally refers to the two no longer as Barnabas and Saul, as heretofore, but as Paul and Barnabas. Only in Acts 14:14 and Acts 15:12-25 does Barnabas again occupy the first place. Paul appears as the more eloquent missionary, if you like. But when they get to Lystra, they were both regarded as gods. Paul as Hermes and Barnabas as Zeus. Barnabas was part of the agreement with the Jerusalem church that Gentile Christians could be admitted without following Jewish practices. It was also agreed that Paul and Barnabas would take the Christian message out to pagans and Gentiles. However, this issue of Gentile admittance into Christianity was still a source of controversy, and it became a major issue when Peter came to Antioch, and it seems caused in part the split between Paul and Barnabas at this time. Additionally, it seems that Paul asked Barnabas to accompany him on another journey. Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along, but Paul did not. And so this dispute was ended by Paul and Barnabas taking separate routes. Paul took Silas as his companion and journeyed through Syria and Cilicia, while Barnabas took John Mark to visit Cyprus. Little is known of the subsequent career of Barnabas after this split between him and Paul. He was still living and labouring as an apostle in 56 or 57 AD when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, in which it is stated that he too, that's Barnabas, like Paul, earned his own living. The reference indicates also that perhaps the friendship between the two was unimpaired by their going separate ways. When Paul was a prisoner in Rome between 61 and 63 AD, John Mark was attached to him as a disciple, and that's regarded as an indication that Barnabas was no longer alive. Although it's believed he was martyred by being stoned, the apocryphal Acts of Barnabas state that he was bound with a rope by the neck and then being dragged only to the site where he would be burned to death. According to the history of the Cyprus church, in 478, Barnabas appeared in a dream to the archbishop Anthimios of Cyprus and revealed to him the place of his sepulchre beneath a carob tree. The following day, Anthimios found the tomb, and inside it the remains of Barnabas with a manuscript of Matthew's Gospel on his breast. Anthimios then placed the venerable remains of Barnabas in a church which he founded near the tomb. Excavations near the site of a present-day church and monastery have revealed an early church with 2 empty tombs, and these are believed to be that of St. Barnabas and Anthimios. St. Barnabas, as I said before, is venerated as the patron saint of Cyprus. He's also considered a patron saint in many other places in the world, including Milan in Italy. On the island of Tenerife, St. Barnabas was invoked in historical times as a patron saint and protector of the island's fields against drought, together with St. Benedict of Nursia. Barnabas is traditionally credited with founding the Apostolic See of Milan. Clement of Alexandria also makes Barnabas one of the 70 disciples that are mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. Cypriot's developed the tradition of his later activity and martyrdom no earlier than the 3rd century, so it's not fact, it's what the Cypriots have developed from looking at Barnabas's life story. So whilst there is still a fair amount of uncertainty and conjecture around Barnabas in his life, we can be sure, I think, of at least a couple of important things. First, our reading of Acts and the epistles really brings to life the real person that Barnabas was. Second, he was clearly a very active preacher and missionary for the early church. At first, as we can see quite clearly from Acts, he was preeminent over Paul. But subsequently, it's been Paul that takes the centre stage. Certainly, I think it would be fair to suggest that he was on a par with Paul in terms of the development of the early church. And in developing the missionary activity of that early church, especially amongst the Gentiles, which of course is you and me. He sets an example for us, I think, as a missionary Christian, living out the gospel and proclaiming it by the way he lived. He appears to have been a powerful preacher and a forceful character. He doesn't seem to be someone who bears a grudge, as witnessed by his continuing relationship, good relationship with Paul, despite their disagreements and their parting of the ways. And of course, Paul eventually taking the limelight. To me, this exemplifies a praiseworthy humility on the part of Barnabas. So all in all, I think Barnabas is a fine example to all of us today, which is why I felt it important to set out the record of his career in some detail. He demonstrates a strong faith, a willingness to stand up for what he believes in, a preparedness to proclaim what he believes in, even if that is unpopular at the time. As I've already mentioned, he had a humility despite the undoubted fame that he had in the early church, and even being declared a god at one point. Above all, he seems to have been tenacious and willing at the end of his life to give his life in the service of Christ. These, I think, are all attributes we should aspire to as we go forward in life. So let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, who gave your apostle Barnabas the gifts of the Spirit, do not leave us destitute of those same gifts or of the spirit of humility, to use them always in your honour and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.